We're talking with Carissa Arnold from Midway, Kentucky today about growing and selling sweet potatoes. Carissa, thanks so much for your time and visiting with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Matt.
Let's tell me a little bit about the sweet potatoes that you're growing and how those fit into the rest of what you're growing and selling there in the Midway area.
Well, at Elkhorn Oaks Farm, sweet potatoes have been grown sort of almost as a hobby vegetable because Tom really enjoyed growing them. They were easy to grow. They grew well and required very little, if any, chemical treatments. And so they were mostly grown for the family. And then 3 years ago, I guess 2 years ago, this will be a third market season. I started selling at the Woodford County Farmers Market, and sweet potatoes was just one of our items that we had in the fall.
So about how many sweet potatoes in terms of maybe rows or pounds do you grow, and what are your types of market channels for them?
We have grown about a quarter of an acre for the past two seasons, and I think historically that's how much has been grown. This year we're actually increasing our production to a half acre, so that's exciting because we have found a channel for our sweet potatoes through the local restaurant market. So we've got a couple of restaurants that are buying our sweet potatoes in bulk quantity, you know, every week, a set amount. And so a majority of the sweet potatoes are going there as long as they are available, you know, when they're in season. And then also at the farmer's market, because there's not, you know, the restaurants want a certain size or grade, and so those that fall below that or sometimes above that, I can find a home for at the farmer's market.
So let's talk about growing sweet potatoes, planting things during production and then harvest, and especially when we talk about roots and tubers, we need to think about labor. So take us through the growing season with a special viewpoint on the big times for lots of labor involvement.
Right. Well, first of all, we purchase our slips. We don't propagate our own slips. We do purchase those out of Tennessee, so they're not too far, coming from too far away. And we grow a Beauregard variety, which have been shown to grow very well in Kentucky and do well for us. We have tried a couple of other varieties with less success. And then when we set them, it's usually about the middle of May. And we use an old two-person tobacco setter, which is a lot of fun. You know, so it's just a little fertilizer in the water tank and two of us on the setter. And usually one of the brothers pulling us on the tractor, and we just set it. It doesn't take too long. Like I said, we just do a little amount. And then you know, as they grow, before they get a good leaf cover on them, we use the cultivating tractor maybe once or twice, and then we'll go in and hand hoe. Usually we have a good sprout of hogweed that likes to make its way through. And so we'll get in there maybe once or twice and get out the hogweed and things like that are haven't been killed back by the leaf cover. And then they're usually good to go until it's harvest time. And then harvest time does present some challenges. I have really sturdy potato forks. And because we've been at such a small scale right now, it's just been mostly me and my partner, Michael, hand digging the potatoes. And then a couple times maybe we've got H2A guys that come in and work tobacco for us, and every now and then if they've got a break or something that, you know, not everyone can be used right away, I can get somebody to help me dig sweet potatoes. So, but like I said, usually I'm digging about 140 pounds a week, and I've managed that mostly by myself. But with increasing the production to a half acre this year, we have looked at purchasing a potato harvester, a digger. It's just a small scale, a piece of equipment, that digs underneath the hill and then has a short conveyor that just lays them out on top of the ground. It's not like a something more like a full-size harvester where you have guys up on the back packing bins and things like that. But so that's what we're looking at going forward, and maybe increasing production is, we're gonna need something that makes it a little easier on my back.
So it sounds like you're harvesting as you're marketing them in the fall. How well do they hold up after harvest, and are there things that you do or that you're looking at doing to keep the product quality just perfect?
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, because we've been so small scale, I have been able to pretty much dig to order each week, until we've gone through them all. But with the increase in production, we are looking at building a curing facility or on a small scale. When I say facility, I mean it could be a small room, in the basement or something like that. But curing the sweet potatoes does extend their shelf life, and it requires, high humidity and fairly high temperatures for a couple of weeks, in a fairly controlled environment to get that curing. So that's something that we want to look at. I have varied success in keeping the sweet potatoes just in the basement, and I've tried washing them, not washing them, and some different things like that. But usually by the time, Christmas has rolled around, between selling at the market and the restaurant and family getting their share, we're about through sweet potatoes. We've eaten our share of sweet potatoes. Now, I still have a few down in the basement right now from last fall's harvest they're still holding in there. So, a lot of people were surprised that our uncured sweet potatoes were still sweet. And being a fairly novice farmer, in the beginning, I didn't even know that they required curing, or that, some people have the notion that curing the sweet potatoes sweetens them even more, because it breaks down and produces more sugars in the tuber. But they taste fine to me, straight out of the field. And no one's complained. They're pretty good. But, to extend that shelf life up to, maybe 8 months or better, I think curing is going to be something that we have to look at doing.
Now, going back to production, you mentioned weeds, of course. Are there any diseases or insect pests during the growing period for sweet potatoes that you've had to deal with there or not?
I really haven't seen anything on the disease side. We've been really fortunate, and we do a really good job of rotating our plots out and keeping about 3 years in between where we plant the sweet potatoes, not doubling up on that. And I would say the biggest pests would have to be the wireworms and mice. And the wireworm damage has been minimal. And again, you can get away from that pretty good if you do a good crop rotation and don't have that extra pressure. But then sometimes there's just not a whole lot you can do unless you want to use, a treatment on them. And then that might be something, as we increase production, we may look at doing. I've tried to keep it fairly organic as much as possible. I really believe in using pesticides, whether inorganic or organic, at a minimum, but also if push comes to shove and I'm going to lose my crop, I'd rather, use a application, of some sort on them, if that means, that I'll have something to harvest.
Right.
So, and with the mice, that's just something, you know, the farm dogs have done a pretty good job, and farm cats at keeping those at bay. But sometimes those little suckers like to get right up underneath the hill and take a bite out of every single sweet potato in the hill. And you just, you just kind of hate it because you've done all that work digging up that hill, and then you've got, you know, a little mouse bite taken out of each potato. It's pretty disappointing.
Yeah, a good reminder for people growing potatoes and sweet potatoes to remember those rodent and wildlife pests that can attack them as well.
Absolutely.
Sweet potatoes are sweet, and it's in their name, so your customers like that. What have your farmers market customers, maybe some of the chefs too, tell you about your sweet potatoes, and just what's it like to sell those to a consumer audience here?
It's wonderful. I think sweet potatoes are seeing a little bit of a resurgence in popularity because they do have a lower glycemic index than, say, white potatoes. So it really doesn't affect people's blood sugar too much. It's better for, you know, diabetics and people that are watching their intake of sugars and things like that. Even though it's says sweet potato, you know, it does have a lot of natural health benefit as well, and the vitamin A and things like that that are in the beta carotene, and you know, it's just a really kind of feel good vegetable, I think, because it's a potato, so it's wholesome, but then, you know, you're not loading up on a ton of starch like other potatoes, I just think they can be used in many different recipes. You know, people fry them and bake them, and it's just endless. You know, they're a favorite at Thanksgiving in casseroles. So they're really versatile and tasty. They're sweet, savory, however you want to make them. You know, it's a great vegetable that. But I don't think we'll ever go out of popularity for me. You know, it's kind of a staple, especially in the South. And I think some, you know, restaurants and things like that are using them in novel ways. One of the local restaurants that we have been selling to actually processes them and uses them in a pastry. So that's a really cool thing. And then they're also able to take maybe some of the sweet potatoes that wouldn't be, you know, desirable to eat as a potato, you know, like a baked potato that could be oversized or this and that. But since they're processing them and putting them in a pastry, then, you know, it opens up their ability to take more of what is coming out of the field.
So you mentioned here, and just as we finish, this is a very good point for people marketing sweet potatoes or any vegetable. It sounds like you have some different channels for not only sweet potatoes, but different kinds, grades of sweet potatoes that you're able to move. And so you're able to sell, sounds like, just about every one that you're growing, even when there are size and grade differences. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, with sweet potatoes, you know, you'll get the fingerlings, the small baby little ones, the side shoots that come off. And, you know, there are several higher end restaurants in Lexington that actually are featuring fingerling sweet potatoes on their menu in the fall. So it's all about, you know, kind of doing your homework, doing your research, see what, you know, restaurants are putting on their menus. See if they will, you know, it's just having that conversation of what can we do with these, because it really pains me for anything to go to the compost pile, you know, because a lot of times, you know, anything that comes out of the field is still edible, still very good, whether it be too big, too small, you know, have a little bit of damage on it or, you know, something like that. I like, you know, my grandmother would never waste anything. And so, you know, I always try to find a way to use as much as what's coming out of the field as possible and for it to have a home, whether it be sold, whether it be donated or go to, a food bank or something like that. There's usually a home for it that's not in the compost pile. If I can do that, then I feel like I'm doing pretty good.
Well, thanks, Chris, for visiting with us today. Appreciate your time and all the success that you're having there with sweet potatoes. Good luck for a great season here in 2019.
Wonderful. Thank you, Matt.